Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is John chapter 12, verses 37 through 43. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John, the 12th chapter. Though Jesus had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, he has blinded their hearts and hardened their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah is the mighty seer. His eyes see the Lord, and he does not die. He sees the suffering servant so vividly that chapter 53 of Isaiah is like the fifth passion account. But the call of Isaiah was deeply disappointed and futile by our standards. He was sent to a people who would not listen. He was told so from the outset. People who would be carried off into destruction, people who would not turn when he asked them to. He sees not just the beautiful nature of Christ and his glory, the glory of him whose stripes heal us, but also that he is despised and rejected by many. And this is actually how Isaiah's prophecy of Good Friday begins, with the very words that Jesus quotes today. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Jesus then doubles back to chapter 6 and the call of Isaiah when he talks about the blinding and the hardening and the forbidding of understanding, lest they should turn and I would heal them. These are words of condemnation and of judgment and not of hope. They're words wherein some want to find the teaching that God chooses some people to be damned, and he wills and he desires that they not be saved, perhaps even excluding them from the work of the arm of the Lord and his atoning death. But that understanding is wrong. It misses the point of Jesus saying, lest they see and understand and turn, and I would heal them. This is the proper desire and will of God, that he be the savior of sinners. But what to do with sinners who won't receive it? He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He puts forth his lamb to take away the sins of the world, the whole world, not just some portion of it only. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And yet, though how often he would have gathered them as a hen gathers her chicks, they would not. There's an obvious warning stirred up in this We do not wish to be like them. We don't want to refuse to believe or to miss the revelation of God's arm or to kick against the goads to our own hurt. The book of Hebrews warns us extensively in this way, yet in our case is confident of better things. For us who believe, who see and understand, however dimly, yet brightening and growing through his word, it is better to understand this in the way that St. Paul reminds us of this passage himself, just as Isaiah received it, that this is an extremely important truth to inwardly digest and to keep in mind as we take up our stations in life, as we go out, some of us to prophesy, some of us to preach, some of us simply to speak whenever the chance comes with our neighbors about the hope that is in us. But you must acknowledge that not everyone believes. Not everyone loves Jesus. They do not begin favorably disposed or open to him. It's natural, in fact, to stumble over him as these Pharisees do. It may be even more easy to stumble, it seems, if you are an important person or a powerful person or an intelligent person or a capable person. Look at the Pharisees. Look at Saint Paul, who was their chief, at least until the Lord worked his miracle, which is how salvation always comes to us all. Now, Isaiah, notice, was not turned back from his task by such a fact being disclosed by Jesus at the beginning. He received this task along with the commission to preach futilely. And his book is the longest of the Old Testament, and by many measures, the best. And St. Paul, whose letter to the Romans is the Isaiah of the New Testament, he is not dissuaded from preaching either. But neither are they naive. Your mission work, your outreach, your sharing, your heartfelt talk with your friend, your miraculous signs and wonders, if you have any of those, they will not always work, as we say. It's the task, as our hymn sings, to sow abroad without concern for the prideful prophet, but also with some measure of indifference to prophet at all. Oh, what of that? The tasks of preaching and of confessing the faith are not to be operated like some Monsanto corporation. If it were, there would be no Isaiahs, there would be no Pauls, they would never bother with this. So do not you then be surprised when they might put you out of the synagogues, when they might mock and scoff, or far more likely, just don't be surprised or don't be undone or give up when they simply don't care what you have to say. But the evangelist then goes on to speak much more directly to those who believe, you and I, and it is significant that these things are spoken together in John 12. We're told here about what afflicts those who do believe and hear Jesus gladly, namely, that they love the glory of man more than the glory that comes from God, and that leads them not to confess him. It's one thing, very devastating, to be beholden to your own opinions and closed off to the Word of God, holding the wrong opinion of him, as the Pharisees and scribes did, as Paul once did. But it is also possible to become beholden to the opinions of others. And that is the temptation that faces the church and its Christians especially, which was faced by these authorities who did believe in Jesus, but for fear of the unbelievers, would not confess it. You must recognize that the glory of man is an expansive term. It's like the word mammon from a couple weeks ago. It means more than money. It means more than power. It means more than just tangible favors and invites to parties, things that have to be reported as conflicts of interest. It means status seeking of every possible kind, approval. Right down to the very smallest and weakest of words that we have, somebody else's opinion of me. An opinion which seems so flighty, and yet if it's about me, matters the whole world. Yet which in truth we care so deeply about, so desperately about, what might they think of me? if I said the right thing, the true thing, if I spoke up. Seeking the glory that comes from man leads people to change the way they talk about Christ and his glory. It can lead them to say nothing at all. It can lead them to change the Lord's message so that it better fits with the opinions that come from man. And this, like all idolatry, is a matter of the heart, which only then leads to matters of word and deed. That means this one needs to be left with us for a while. We need to think about this ourselves and always be checking ourselves. Am I, in fact, fearing, seeking, loving the glory of others and their opinions more than that of God? You must examine yourself, your station in life according to God's commandments, to see whether you are confessing his glory and seeking Jesus' approval, or whether you are craving the approval of man. The danger for us is that the approval of man, just like the things their itching ears want to hear, just like the things that are natural to them, are in fact contrary to God, and maybe more helpful for us to recognize, are temporary. They are the things that come and go. They are the things that perish like grass. But as our hymn said, the word of the Lord is the thing that endures forever. Christ Jesus, this one who was foretold so long ago by Isaiah, who is still being preached by St. Paul and by us, he is the one who endures forever. The one who is justified by his opinion of you, that in fact he has declared you righteous for the sake of God's Son. Then what do we have to care about the opinions and the glory of others? This is a lifelong lesson to learn, but it is one that leads us to always return to the Lord and his word, which truly endure forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.